power of the church, the authority of the church. And what we've been talking about in the men's meeting is kingdom men. God's kingdom. So today I want to do a little bit of that and a little bit of connect the dots. The first thing that a believer has to know, and when I say no, I mean what I said, no. You know what your name is. You know what you look like. You know how much money you got in your pocket, physical money or in the bank, wherever you keep it. We live in a world that has two realms. The physical realm, which is the here and now. You walk in it, you breathe in it, you work in it. It's real. You can see it, touch it. And the spiritual realm. Spiritual realm is real. Yep. It's just as real as what you can see, if not more so. It's older than the physical realm. Much more takes place in it than the physical realm. Even though you can't see it, it is there. The definition of the word realm I looked up this morning is a community or territory which a king or sovereign ruler rules, a kingdom. That's the reason it's called a realm. And that's the reason I like to call it that. You don't hear that word too much anymore because it was used in the physical realm in the time when there were kings and queens. They called their kingdom their realm. Well, just as surely as that kingdom was under whatever king it was, King of England, whoever, there's a king of this world, this physical world. His name is Satan. And, of course, we have our sovereign God who is the ruler of the spiritual world. But Satan can operate in either one. But he operates mainly from the spiritual realm.
Yep.
But he controls the physical realm. And I'm pretty sure everybody in here knows why. Raise your hand. Because of us. Because of Adam and Eve, Garden of Eden. That's the reason Satan has power in this realm, in this physical world. Now, God created angels. And at least some of them has free will. Satan did. His name was Lucifer. And he looked at himself, and if you read about him in the Bible, he was an awesome angel when he was in his rightful position under the Lord. Imbibed with music. His name even meant something special. But he went and looked in the mirror, I'm paraphrasing here, and he said, man, you all that in a bag of chips. And pride and sin entered his heart. And he was cast from heaven.
Yep.
Now, have you often wondered, or as I have, why he approached, as used the serpent and approached Eve in the Garden of Eden to get her to be deceived and commit sin, where he could receive power in this world? He's always against God. He always will be against God. That's all that he in his own whatever kind of mind he has, I can't fathom it. That's all he wants, is to be against God. And everything that is for God, stands for God, he hates. He wants to destroy it. And the Bible tells us he only is like as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, to kill, steal, and destroy. That's all he lives for. When Eve and Adam gave him the power in the Garden of Eden over this world, he became the ruler of this world. Now, it's not because he's anything except sneakier than we are.
Right.
He is a deceiver. He got that power by deceit. Now, we were created to live in this physical world, but we are set up to operate in the physical and the spiritual world because we're made in God's image. We have soul, mind, will, and emotions. We have a fleshly body because we're in a physical, real world. And we have a spirit, just like God has, similar to it. It says God made man in his own image. That includes men and women. You know, except he made man first, and he made woman for man. Every day, every man, woman, and children, for that matter, make decisions. And those decisions, good or bad, has consequences.
Yep.
God holds the consequences in his hand. He lets go of them as you make your decision, as we make our decision. You make good decisions, there are going to be good consequences. You may not see them immediately, same way with the bad. Sometimes you see them immediately, sometimes you don't. If you make bad decisions, there are going to be bad consequences.
Yes.
That showed up pretty much in the children's world real quick, because they get in our house, they get a rear end pulled up, they make some bad decisions, misbehave. Right. Or say the wrong thing. You can ask the boys. Say the wrong thing to their mother, see what happens. I have to about watch myself. I come up like a little banty rooster, I'm ready to flog one of them. You don't talk to your mama that way. And you ain't going to talk to her and me that way.
Yeah.
That's biblical. Now, do I want to hurt them? No. But as Brother Scott has said, and I've read, and I've been taught, it says in Proverbs, you can beat a child with a rod and he will not die. Now, that don't mean you beat him like a workhorse. But you discipline them and give them a spanking and talk to them and hit them in the right direction. You heard it before, you got to break a child's will. It's not that you break the will, you get it changed and go in a certain direction. But anyhow, good decisions, good consequences. Bad decision, bad consequences. That sounds like something really simple, right?
Yeah.
How many in here has made bad decisions that never think about the bad consequences?
Yeah.
I don't care if it's wrong. I'm going to do it anyway. I'm Monty Hall. I don't care. Man. I made some bad. I ended up in jail one time in Colorado. Ended up on the wrong side of the law one time in Colorado. My daddy had this saying, he'd tell me, he told me, I was 11 or 12 years old, bad boys in the neighborhood, I wouldn't run over their yard and play, on the run, hang with them, did it at school anyway, and we was going to church, and my daddy told me, son, you can't run and hang with them. He told me one day, he said, your choice of friends is going to mess you up one day. And he said, and he wasn't speaking from prophecy, he was speaking from my bad decisions, because I wouldn't run with them boys. Well, by the time I was 13 years old, I was smoking cigarettes, smoked marijuana, drank beer. By the time I was 21 years old, I'd done all of that so long, I was running with the wrong crowd, and they broke into a place. Even though I didn't help them, I was passed out in the car, I got drug in with it. I was still guilty, I was hurt. I didn't go to the place telling them they done it. I got caught up in it. Went to jail for a little while. Now, you think, well, all them bad consequences, I changed that bad decision. I got out of jail, I was on probation. Guess what I did? I was walking down the streets of Cartersville, Georgia. This is a true story. And I had just got back from South Georgia in a halfway house. I was real born and raised in Georgia. I don't know what a halfway house is when I go in back. I didn't have no drugs down there, no alcohol. All I could do was eat, sleep, work, and smoke my cigarettes. So when I got out, I was a good little boy for a few months. Got out, got back up home, had a job waiting on me. I was walking down the streets of Cartersville toward the police station. And I was thinking, man, where can I get me some marijuana? I don't know nobody here. I can't go, just ask anybody to buy the stuff that's illegal. And this guy pulled, now, if you don't think the spiritual world is real, let me tell you something. I didn't know nobody in Cartersville, Georgia, but one person. That was my mother I lived with. This car come up to a four-way stop where I stand on the corner, slid to a stop, wild music blaring. Boy turned music down and said, hey, man, you got any rolling papers? I said, yeah, man, you got any pot? He said, yeah, jump in. Right off the bat, Satan was looking at me again.
Yeah.
Bad decisions bring bad consequences. More bad decisions bring more bad consequences. So what's your decisions? If you want good, godly consequences, you have to make good, godly decisions.
Right.
And what's the difference between a good decision and a godly decision? A good decision is to get up and go to work every morning. You're going to make some money at the end of the week. A good, godly decision is to get up and go to church.
Amen.
And learn from the Lord to where you can lead your family, men.
Amen.
Women, to where you can learn what God has in store for you for your life. Children, where you can listen to your parents that's trying to raise you in a godly manner. Don't shake your head, boy. It's one of them times I'm serious. That's a good godly decision. It will bring good godly consequences. Now, connecting the dots, I had a message the Lord gave me about the alignment of the kingdom man. I can't go into all of it, but I want to apply the principles of that alignment to the alignment of the family. Now, to consistently make these good godly decisions, you've got to be connected to God.
Right.
If you don't believe me, go back. If anybody has ever served God for a while and backslid, or not served God at all, you're not making godly decisions if you're not connected to God.
Right.
You can watch us on Facebook Live. You can watch Trinity Broadcasting Network. You can watch anything you want to on television. Now, don't get me wrong. If you're not in God's will, you can be born again that way. We know that. We've heard testimony of that. But once you get born again, that change takes place on the inside of you. Repentance comes out. When repentance comes out, sin comes out, you'll have one yearning in your life. That's to please God. You have to stay connected to it. Now, thank God. Maybe we don't have a lot of people that go to church here, but thank God we have a great church.
Yeah.
We have a pastor that loves us, cares about us. We have a Sunday school teacher that listens to the Lord.
Yeah.
We have members here that are seeking God, and I know you are, every day of your life, to fit in God's will for your life and to take the steps directed that God has got in store for you. Number one is I see you at church all the time.
Amen.
Now, people can go to church and miss it. That's I've seen that a long, long, long time ago and lots of times. But the fruit in their life, what does it say in Galatians chapter 5, fruit of the Spirit? Love, peace, joy, meekness, patience. I'll miss some of them, I know, but it's all in there. Now, I'm not the most spiritual sensitive person in the world, but I am some. And when I'm around you guys, 90% of the time, I have good feelings. There's a reason for that. It's the joy of the Lord. You can't get that unless you stay connected to God.
Right.
Now, as in the family, well, as I said, you stay connected with God by being in the church, not a church. The church. Too many. The church, God has led you to, he wants you in, which is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, where all his members are fit together correctly. Paraphrase the Bible. Sister Teresa went in lots of detail to teach us that over the last few months. Brother Scotty preaches in detail, one person is not the church.
Right.
We'll see some scripture where Jesus is not the church. It is his church. He is the leader. He's the firstborn. But he wants all of us. Because he said when he told Peter, upon this rock, I will build my church. If he was the only one, his church is already built.
Right.
So therefore we know that he's building it.
Right.
You got your Bibles showing in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to talk about the alignment. I'm going to just call it kingdom family for lack of better words. It says, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Now, if you break that down, you have God is the head of Christ, Christ is the head of man, man is the head of woman. And somebody might say, well, what about the children? Women, man, woman, child are the family. The man is the head of the family. Now, children are on the same level as the head and the woman. And it says in Ephesians that the fathers are responsible for raising the children. And it says in the Old Testament to teach, for the fathers to teach their children.
Right.
At the rising of the day,
right.
At the setting of the sun. In other words, every opportunity, teach your children.
Right.
It doesn't put it on the women. You know, the man don't go to work and say, you raise them kids. Right. They mess up, I'll get home, I'll straighten it out. That's not exactly how it's supposed to be.
Right.
Number one, it is a plain given fact statistically. If you go to the prisons and ask most of the men, or women, I would say, the prisoners there, what were their fathers like, you're going to get two answers. Number one, or three. Number one, they didn't have one. Number two, if they had one, it's the same as not having one. Or number three, they had a very bad one.
Yep.
So therefore, a man is supposed to be connected to the kingdom of God. He's supposed to be aligned in God's ways and teach his children. He is responsible for it. God will hold him responsible for it. It says in the Bible that Paul wrote to the churches, if a man does not work, he will not eat, should not, will not eat. That's the way it should be. Yes, the man's place is to do what God said to do. Man's, husbands, men are not the providers. I had to learn that the hard way. Husbands or men are the conduit for God's will to the family.
Amen.
Right.
And to let the family know God is the provider.
Right.
He's
right.
The conduit. Now, in our day and time, it started a long time ago, even back in my young days, there's lots of families that only has one parent. Lots of times it's only the woman. I can't speak against that, except that that's not the way God meant for it to be. There are, I know, godly women and other women that don't serve God trying to do the best they can to raise their children. And it's really hard on them because they're not in God's plan. They're not aligned with God's kingdom. On the man's side of it, I've told the men in their meeting what God expects out of them. The word alignment, if you look up the definition for that one single word, is to put something back the way it truly fits, to arrange in a straight line. Your vehicle is probably one of the best examples you can think of. It's going down the road like this, it's out of alignment.
Right.
If it's going down the road, just doing it which way, it's out of alignment. When you get it aligned, it goes down the road in the line that it's headed for correctly. The same way with God's kingdom. God's kingdom is God is the head of Christ. He sent Christ, which is the man Jesus. Those are two different beings altogether, although they're the same person. Christ is the Messiah, the anointed one, the Savior. Jesus is the man, living, breathing, physical, fleshly man in the world. Both the same person, all God, all man. Through him, we have it all. He is the head of the man. He's God's conduit to the man. The man is God's conduit to the woman in the family. The woman is the helpmate. God saying in Genesis that man needed a helper. And Lord, did I ever need one. It had been for April helping me lots of times, I wouldn't have made it. I don't think. Because I've got, you know, you get things in your mind, man, where you think, yeah, I've got this. Now, part of that may be a little bit godly, the competence part. But there's a scripture in the Bible, Ephesians 4:27, says, neither give the devil place. And hopefully I'll have time to get into that. I don't know. If not, then I'll take it up next time. That is so deep, that one scripture. It leads into another subject. Neither give the devil place means opportunity. Now, the devil does not attack you, but one way. He has no power on a born-again person except one way. It's called legality. Now, I ain't not trying to confuse you. If you live next door to a drug dealer, he's illegal. He's selling drugs, right? He sees you doing something illegal and calls the police on you, gets the police on you, he's attacked you. That's the way the devil deceives you.
Right.
God knows what you do wrong. It says in Revelations that he stands and accuses the brethren daily.
Right. Yeah.
And we are responsible for our actions, our decisions.
Good.
That's how the devil gets place. If you don't give him an opportunity, you don't give him a place, he has to find some other way to come at you. If it's not through your attitude or some kind of addiction or some kind of language or some other person, he'll use the people to do it. If you can fight against that spiritually in every category, you have effectively taken place away from the devil. It's not easy to do. It was very hard for me in a lot of levels. And I'm still learning. Now, the kingdom alignment starts with the man. We're going to call a kingdom man, and the men have heard this, is a male. Not all males are kingdom men. All males are men. The way God made it, God ordained it. But a kingdom man is a male who is chosen to operate consistently under the anointed guidance of God's will and the lordship of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of Christian men, either they don't understand or they don't want to, because sometimes it's not easy. But when you make your mind up to do something and do it for God, and you commit to God, he will bless you. He will anoint you. And you'll become the man that God meant for you to be. Now, what kind of man is that? Number one, you're going to have a relationship with him. No man can lead a family correctly without a relationship with God. Because number one, if you don't have it, you can't hear from God. If you can't hear from God, you're already on the first step of failure. And like I said, some of the men have heard this before. Men, keep your relationship with God right. You want to know what that is? Joshua chapter 1 is a good place to start. Meditate on the word daily. Does that mean you have to have your head stuck in the Bible every single second? It would help.
Right.
It do wonders every single second you can. Now, I'm not up here like passing any judgment on anybody. I've got a long way to go just like everybody else does. I don't keep my head studying the Bible every single second I could. I'm not trying to brag about that. It's not nothing to brag about. I'm just telling the truth. But I do keep my head and my heart in the Bible enough to keep my relationship with God open and close. When God speaks to me, I know I can hear it. I used to had a problem. I said, I don't know if you're speaking to me or not. Well, I figured out why. I wasn't spending any time with him. Since I started praying more, since I started studying more, and since I started fasting, which I barely ever did start with until Brother Scotty brought it up to church. I thought, I'm going to try it. I ain't done that much. You know, all I got to lose is maybe a feeling of hunger for a while. Praise God, it works.
Yep, man.
I mean, it works.
Yep.
There ain't no magic formula. It just works.
Yep.
Now, for the women, a wife of a godly man, no woman wants a man that says, I'm a man, me, yeah. Every woman wants a man that says, I'm a man.
Yep.
And when a woman gets the taste of a godly man in her life, I dare say she would rather ever settle for anything less.
Right.
I'm not a woman, but I can just imagine. If a woman has a husband that loves hers, as Christ so loved the church, what does that mean? Christ so loved the church that he gave himself for it. What does that mean? He sacrificed.
Right.
Brother Scott stood up here and said, I will not put any hardship on my wife that I can help whatsoever.
Right.
That's exactly how a husband loves his wife. Yep. I don't care if it's leaving a brownie up there for her to eat,
right,
or carrying her on his back wherever she's got to go. Whatever it might be that you can do, if you can do it, and it's a sacrifice to help her, that's how a husband loves his wife. You don't bring no grief to her. You don't bring any shame to her.
Right.
You don't bring any trouble to her.
Right.
You don't bring any illegalness to her. You don't bring nothing but good to her, because that's what Jesus does for the church.
Right.
And that's all he ever will do. When a husband marries his wife, he promises her that, and she gives up the person that she is by name and connects with him by name. That's the way God meant it to be. And it says in the Bible, a man and woman shall be one flesh. A man shall leave his mother and father, and they shall cleave together. Amen. To all their days, that's the way it's going to be. Whenever that works, and it does work, whenever the man and the woman gets aligned right in God's plan and it works, you can't beat it. I'm here to tell you, you cannot beat it. I've got three boys sitting here. There's your 17, 14, and 13. Zach's not that far away from what the legal age is from man. God knows he's got a lot of stuff to learn. He's doing pretty good. I can't complain. He does pretty good. He doesn't disrespect me and his mom. He's got his first job yesterday.
Amen.
He showed up on time. He's been, you know, active in ministry at the church. He's done nothing to bring any kind of grief or shame to our family. He's headed on the right track. It's not going to be long that all I can do is give him advice. I can't make him do it. I can get upset at him, or I can influence him, but I can't make him do it. But I got two boys just on the footsteps. And all our young men are princes. You know what a prince is? It's a king in training. We're training them to be men and to be aligned in God's kingdom. How to treat a woman, how to treat a wife. How to pick one. You know, if I could ever sit down and tell you the full story of when me and April ended up together, it was not biblical at all. It was as much in sin as sin could be. But then we decided we'd get born again and live for God. Now, we'll never go back to that kind of life. It is what it is. But we are here together. We're going to serve God in his kingdom to the utmost of our ability. We've made that commitment to each other, and we're going to raise our kids in God's kingdom. That's all I can do. That's what God wants me to do. Now, there's some things, I'm not going to have time to do it. Psalms 128 describes the alignment for the kingdom man. Zach, you put that up there. I'm going to go through this kind of quick. In verses 1 and 2, it talks about the blessing on a man who fears God. It says, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. I'm going to go ahead and read the whole thing. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table.
Go ahead.
Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion. Thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem out of the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel.
That's a man's song.
Now, the beginning of wisdom, it says in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, is to fear the Lord. Without having near enough time to get into this, to fear the Lord is taking God seriously. What do I mean by that? I hate to have to use this example, but it's the only one I know to get it across. If you've ever fought somebody in your life that could beat the snot out of you, you took that person seriously. Now, I'm not talking about God's going to beat you, you know, like in a fight. But what I mean by taking seriously, the next time you come across that person, you had some kind of reverent fear of that person because of what they could do to you. Now, God can destroy with hellfire those deserved, but God loves us. But to take God seriously means that you know that he means what he says, and he says what he means.
Amen.
He just said right there, go back to verse 1 of that. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. You take God seriously, you take his word seriously. When you take his word seriously, it starts getting in here and down in here, and then it comes out here, and everything is, whew, it's great. Now, is it always easy? No. Is things always perfect? No. But Jesus said you're going to have trials and tribulations. We learn that every day, and we read God's word, and it refines. God wants to be taken seriously, not secondly. We all have heard many, many times how you can make things idols in your life. I've had quite a few in mine. To put it in about as easy a way as I know how, an idol is a noun. A noun is a person, place, or thing that trumps the will of God in your life.
Amen.
What's the will of God for your life? Brother Scott has said it. I've got to roll right here in my Bible. I'm reading some things that I've learned what the will of God is. Faith begins where the will of God is known.
Right.
What's the will of God for your life? Man, it's to align yourself in a relationship with God where you can lead your wife and love her and your kids and teach them in God's ways all of their lives.
Right. Right.
Even after they're grown, your kids are going to need you.
Yeah.
But there's going to come a time when my dad passed on a couple of years ago. Had it not been for the things I remember that he taught me and he told me, there are going to be times in my life I'd be as lost as a goose.
Yes.
Even being born again, I might run across a situation. But you know what my dad told me? Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways.
Yeah.
He prayed for me for years and years and years to get myself right with the Lord. And I remember whenever, it wasn't long before he died, I talked to him in a year or so. And I said, Daddy, you don't got to worry about me no more. I said, I've got something here I ain't never had before. I said, there ain't no backsliding that'll happen to Monty no more.
Amen.
I said, I don't care what happens, I'm going to serve the Lord. He cried like a baby. That's only the second time I've ever seen my dad cry in my life. He's a tough man. Not because of my daddy, he's just tough. I've seen him hurt himself. He just said, hey, keep going. His dad the same way. I'm going to clap that tough. But he cried like a baby. And I wasn't really trying to. I was just, you know, I was trying to honor him, tell him, Daddy, don't worry. You know, I know he still prayed for him, but he didn't have to pray and, you know, hold me up to God where I would stay close to God. Now he can concentrate more on my brother and my sister. They were raised the same way I was, but they don't have the same outlook on life that I have. I pray for them. But God wants to be taken seriously, not secondly. Anything that trumps God's will for your life is an idol. A guitar. A motorcycle. A TV show. Your wife.
Mm-hmm.
Your husband.
That's right.
Anything that trumps what God says. Men, your relationships should include knowing and declaring your family needs to hear you pray for them. Lay your hands on your kids and pray for them. Lay your hands on your wife and pray for her. It ain't going to hurt nothing. There's no weakness in that. It's strengthening for both of you. And I didn't realize that, and I decided to try it. And, you know, me and April get along pretty well. Every once in a while we have a few crosswords. But even if we didn't get along, it strengthened us. But we do get along and it strengthened us.
Yep.
Whenever the members of the family see that the father is lined up,
yep,
they're going to see results in it.
Yep.
And whenever they see that the father and the husband is lined up, they're going to want to be with him. Now, I'm sad to say exactly the opposite is true. Mm-hmm. I have been on jobs where the boss didn't know what to do. And I did. But I had to do what the boss said. And he told me to do something, me knowing it was not going to be good for the job. But I had to do what he said, because he's the boss.
Yep.
No matter how much I wanted to argue with him, I had to do what he said.
Yeah.
Man, same thing can happen to you. If you don't know what's going on, seek God.
Yeah.
God has three answers. Yes, no, and wait. When you get wait, you wait until you hear yes or no. It may take a while. But the worst thing you can do is not lead your family according to God's alignment.
Right.
Now, I started out all this saying connect the dots. To connect the dots, let me give you a little illustration. I've only got a few minutes, and I want to read some things that I have learned here. If a man is not in alignment with God's kingdom and God's word in his life, he's leading his family and he's messing them up. I don't mean to be critical of that, but it's just the truth. I have learned in my life, in my age, there's one thing that really matters, that's the truth. God's truth and just plain truth. That's the thing that really matters in life. Without God's truth, you're not going to have much of a life. And if you do come to the end of your life, you're not going to have no eternity. No good eternity, let's put it that way. But if an unaligned man is messed up, he's going to leave and contribute to his family and mess them up. That family, if they go to church, now if they don't go to church, you skip this part, but if they go to church, they're going to church and they take their messed upness to church. The church becomes messed up, because what if there's more than one family that's messed up and there's nobody to say the truth? Then the church is part of the neighborhood or the community and it's messed up. The church is supposed to be a light in the community for God's kingdom. If it's messed up, then it's not a light anymore. Now the church is contributing and messing up the community. All right, the community's messed up. Now the community is part of a city. And they're contributing their messed upness to the city. Now the city becomes messed up. The messed up city contributes to the state. The state becomes messed up.
Amen.
The state contributes its part to the country. The country becomes messed up. The country, whether it's in a conglomeration of countries or is sovereign by itself, whatever, becomes messed up. Whatever they contribute to, they're messed up. And it's going to become global. Now the world's messed up. It all starts with the man in relation to his alignment with God and how he aligns his family with God. If the man and the man's family is not aligned with God, he messes up the whole world.
Yep.
But on the other hand, the best thing, if a man and his family is in God's alignment and they have a relationship with God and they're not messed up and they're serving God, then you go through all of this. Then they're led in light. They go to church. The church is in light and true. And it stands out in the community. The community becomes better because it's got light and truth in it. And it contributes to the state. And the state has light and truth in it. And it contributes to the country. It reminds me of a Bible verse where it says, I believe it says, great is the nation whose Lord is whose God is the Lord. Something along those lines. But you can see where everything in our society has become broken down, because there's a lot of misalignment in the family. Sometimes even in a church attending family. And that's sad to have to say, but it's true. Now, I said all that to say this about connecting the dots. You connect the dots, you have a connection to God. Number one, you're born again. Number two, you're seeking God. Really seeking God, you're listening to Him. God puts you in the church where He needs you, wants you, and has you to operate. You become fruitful. And you keep that connection until God leads you elsewhere. I'm going to give you some examples of some of the stuff that I've heard and learned. And I don't know why I've done this. God laid it on my heart. I'm not going to read them all. These are some of the things I've heard from my Sunday school teaching and my pastor. Sister Teresa said the greatest investment you can make is in you. Brother Scotty said, never see your situation without God in it.
Right.
He also said, never let the devil see you sweat in your trial. That was a big one for me. He also said trials are a chisel in God's hand. And I really like this one. God is a good God. Sister Teresa said, this is back in 2021, if we endeavor to be led by the Holy Spirit in small things, He will lead you in all things. Don't put Him last.
Amen.
And then Brother Scotty's got this one. Faith begins where the will of God is known. I still use that to this day. And this is one I really like. It might sound kind of bad, but it's the truth. Brother Scotty says it. Don't let a seed of stupid bring a harvest in your life. Now, it's comical and it sounds like it might be a little bad, but it's as true as daylight.
Yep.
That's all I have this morning. Thank you all for listening. Anybody got anything to do?